The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
There are guys that we put on through the years that just make you smarter when you read them, when you listen to them speak. And Lord knows, Waddle and I can use all the help we can get. We like talking to the smart people.
Yeah,
we like the guys who give us the education. Robert Mays is one of those guys. Not only do we love him because he's a Chicago guy, but he does fantastic work for The Athletic. You hear him on The Athletic football show. You read him on The Athletic and their website, and he cares a great deal about the Bears as well. We'll get to them in a minute. But Mays joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Do I have this correct that you are down in Tampa still doing your normal big load of work for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it looks very different, but yes, I'm still doing a bunch of work. I'm just doing it from a hotel room rather than doing it in various locales at press conferences and availabilities around the city. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm very much looking forward to next year when this is normal again.
So you could say, yeah.
Robert, no plans of going to Radio Row, which I believe Sylvie was saying yesterday, there still is a version of Radio Row down there.
It is a very decrepit and ghost town version of Radio Row. That's what I will say. I was there on Monday. I haven't been back since. I was actually going to head back over today to see what the scene is like. On Monday, I mean, you could just see you could hear the crickets. You know, you could see the little things tumbling by. I can't remember what they're called right now. That was kind of the thing. It was like that. You could hear like the Western whistle sound going through this ghost town. It was very strange.
I love it. Waddle used to use the term like the football tingles when he would get very, very excited about something. Where is your level of football tingles for this game with Mahomes and Brady?
So they've been percolating, but they haven't really jumped up quite yet because I haven't really dug into the game yet. And we've been podcasting all week, but we've been doing kind of very specific elements of it. We're doing our big, big kind of X's and O's previews for Friday's show. So tomorrow, just all day, I'm going to be going back and watching the first meeting between these teams and digging into a bunch of stuff. So I would say right now I'm at like a 3.5.
Wow.
By tomorrow at this time, I'll be at like a 9.8.
Excellent. Okay. That's good. Robert, let's zoom out for a second, and you look at the fact that, or you consider the fact that Super Bowl 55 is in fact going to take place. When you go back to the start of the season and the hurdles that needed to be cleared from a number of different angles, how surprised are you that they were able to get from the start of the season to now, especially in a sport that everyone was concerned about with all the contact, that there's no way that they're ever going to be able to get through this season because of the pandemic?
I'm not surprised, but I'm only not surprised because the undying momentum of the NFL is really beaten. If they want something to take place, if they want something to happen, they will usually make it happen no matter the hurdles. And that's why I always just assume that we would get 17 regular season games. We would have them on time. It's the same reason that the draft happened the day it was supposed to happen, and it happened virtually. I just believe in the league's ability, sometimes to the detriment of its players and to itself, to just accomplish what it wants to accomplish. And that's exactly what it did in this case. You could argue that they didn't put the players in the safest positions. You could argue that they probably should have pressed the reset button once or twice as they figured out how to do this, when you consider some of the Tuesday games that had to happen and what happened with the Broncos and everything else. But the league's momentum and the league's inertia typically win out. And I think this is probably the biggest example we've ever seen of that idea.
I want to weave two of your favorite topics together, not just big picture NFL, but zoom in on the Bears as well. It was reported by Dan Patrick like a couple of months ago that from what he heard, Tom Brady's runner-up choice to Tampa was the Bears. I ask you that, wanting to know where would the Bears be today and what would be the narrative about Tom Brady if that would have happened?
a really good question. I struggle to think about and draw the line. This is always difficult to parse credit with when things go well. It's the same thing we talked about with New England for years. And when you look at the situation in Tampa, they have so much offensive talent at every single position. The receiving core, you know, the offensive line has three all-pro level players on it. And I think that has a big reason, that is a big reason that they were able to have success so quickly. I don't know if you combine the offensive talent and the coaching staff in Chicago, if they would have had that level of success so fast and so early in Tom Brady's tenure there. I do think they'd be a better team, but I think we'd be pretty far off from them going to the Super Bowl in the same way this loaded Tampa Bay team did. When Tom Brady signed here, I really did believe that they could be a contender right away because of the talent they had lining the roster. I thought all they needed at quarterback was someone who could kind of keep the train on the tracks when you consider the ability and just explosiveness that they had at their skill position players. I think the Bears have a decent group of those guys, but I just don't think you can say the same thing. I don't know if they were a Tom Brady away from a championship in the same way that the Bucs might have been.
Robert, kind of building on this Bears theme, I don't think we've talked to you since the end of the season. What is your overall perspective on where they're at and your surprise level, if it is, if you're surprised at all, that they remain status quo at the end of the year? Where are they at, in your opinion, with their coaching staff and their front office and their players?
They're running in place, and that's exactly what they're doing, and that's exactly what they're going to be doing. You know, you can move all the pieces and all the deck chairs on the Titanic around as much as you want to, but I'm not sure you're going to end up going anywhere. And the idea that they would make this big play for a quarterback this offseason, and you know, we've heard that kind of language and narrative around their search at that position. You know, does anybody really have hope that if they give up a ton of assets for a quarterback that's not like a truly great one, that it's going to do much for them? I don't really think so. It just seems like this team is kind of stuck in the muck, and they're on this treadmill of mediocrity that you don't want to be on. And sometimes to get out of that, you have to throw the treadmill in the garbage. You know, it's not about tweaking it in these little tiny ways. Sometimes you got to take a sledgehammer to it and start over. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like that's where they need to be. And I understand that's difficult. That's a hard road to follow, and it's something that requires some fortitude as a franchise. But look what's happening in Detroit right now. I have no idea if it's going to work. But them understanding we need to do something drastic to change where we are and change our status throughout the league, they've done it. They're going to endure that really difficult path and start over. And the Bears are just not willing to do that. And I think that if you're not willing to endure the hardships, you're not going to get to where you want to go.
Robert Mays joining us from The Athletic. Are you then doing everything you can for Watson? And if you don't have enough, who are you then going for of these quarterbacks?
It's a great question because I don't know who's going to be available. And that's one of the biggest mysteries of this entire thing. Is Jimmy Garoppolo one of the only guys? Is Derek Carr now available? I don't know how the quarterback movement elsewhere is going to dictate that. I would trade a lot for Deshaun Watson because I don't know what the price is where you're better off with the picks than you were with Deshaun Watson. And it really does feel like if he's willing to sit out, if he's willing to lose money, that the Texans will lose leverage pretty quickly, and that it might be in their best interest to move on. If they're not operating from a position of strength and you can get him for three first-round picks, I think that's worth it for a lot of franchises. It's a different calculus for the Bears for this reason, though. They don't have any young ascending talent on that team for the most part because of the way they've treated their draft capital. So the coffer's already pretty bare there. And if you're going to keep trading away those high picks in the way they have before, that it's going to be really difficult to surround him with any talent. So they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. There's really no good answer here, but it does feel like there's an inevitable ending of this story where they end up with a guy who is an upgrade from what they have, but still not a guy that can lift them out of this kind of rut that they've fallen into.
Is there one that you like more than another? Do you like Derek Carr more than others? Would you take a chance on Wentz? Like, if you were Pace in his shoes, what would you do?
I think Derek Carr has played the best of the quarterbacks who are currently semi-available. You know, I think Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Derek Carr has been a better quarterback than Carson Wentz, especially lately. You know, you look at the results they've had in Oakland and Las Vegas over the past 2 years, They've been a top 10 offense, according to a lot of metrics. I think that offense is well-designed. I think it has underrated talent up front, and a guy like Darren Waller has been really good. So I'm not sure that you could drop Derek Carr into the Bears situation and get similar results. But when you're thinking about the crop of quarterbacks that might be available, he has guided the best offenses in recent memory of that group.
There's no chance Mitch comes back, in your opinion, correct? And if no, where do you expect the Bears' former starting quarterback to end up?
It's a great question. I honestly haven't asked many people what they think of him. It hasn't been one of the first things on my mind as I've talked to people around the league about stuff. Honestly, you joke about that, but I'm curious. It's never something that comes up, but it will be a discussion that I have with people as we get toward the spring. It's just, again, it's so far down the priority list. I am kind of fascinated by that idea, though, because when you look at guys in the NFL that typically stick as backup quarterbacks, which I assume he would have to be, you know, a guy like Blake Bortles was looking for work this year. He didn't have a job, despite being a former top five pick. And those guys are typically people you want in the building as a way to help your starting quarterback. They're guys that are cerebral. They're guys that have stuck around for a really long time. I mean, Matt Schaub was in the league last year. And you think about the staying power that a guy like Josh McCown has had. I think if you talk to the people in Cleveland, bringing in Case Keenum this year was a really important thing for Baker Mayfield. So I think a lot of teams are going that. Think about Chase Daniel's entire career. A lot of guys like that are the other quarterback in the room right now. Mitchell Trubisky is not that. So I'll be really curious how many franchises around the NFL look at him as a worthwhile investment about the upside when you consider the way and the direction a lot of teams have gone at backup quarterback here over the last few years.
All right, a couple of random questions here. Give me the – I know you haven't dove in, but who are you predicting to win, and give me a new show to be watching or an old show that I should circle back to?
Oh, did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks when it was on?
No, I did not. I've heard a lot about it, but that's a while ago, isn't it?
It aired in 2000. It just got to Hulu last week because for years it had been off of streaming platforms because the music was hard to clear. They used so much like high quality popular music that they had issues getting the rights to it and paying for it. But it's back on Hulu. My girlfriend and I started watching again last week, and it's just so funny to see guys like Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, James Franco, you know, all those guys back when they were 17, 18 years old. It has a lot of heart, and it's well done. It's been a really nice bit of, like, television comfort food for us here in the last week or so.
All right, good, good. What about the score? Who do you like in the game?
I like the Chiefs. I just think that there's so few good answers to what you want to do to them defensively, right? So let's say, you know, the book on them all year was you play too high, you play soft zone, that's how you can prevent big plays. Travis Kelce caught 45 first down receptions against too high zone looks this season. No one else in the NFL had more than 27. He is a dominant player when you go to that. Okay, so you take that off the table. Let's play some man then. You want to play a man? All right, Tyreek Hill's going to roast you. Mahomes is 6 of 9 for about 130 yards and 2 touchdowns against man coverage the first time these two teams played. All right, let's go play two-man then. Let's play man underneath and play two over zone so you kind of get the best of both worlds. All right, well, then Patrick Mahomes is going to spill outside of the pocket on virtually every single play, and it's going to drive you nuts when he's running for an 8-yard gain on 3rd and 7. No quarterback in the NFL averaged more or produced more expected points added on scrambles than Patrick Mahomes. There's just no good solution to the problem. It feels like in order to beat them, you're going to have to beat them 41-38. And I just don't believe this Bucs offense is built to do that, especially when you consider how average Tom Brady has been against the blitz this season. I think he was middle of the road in a lot of advanced metrics against the blitz. And if you look back at the first time these two teams played, the Chiefs set 6 or more pass rushers 7 times. He only faced 6 or more pass rushers 37 times the entire year. The Chiefs were not afraid to bring pressure, and they were successful when they did it. And if the Bucs offense hits any sort of stumbling block against that sort of approach, which Steve Spagnuolo seems to delight in when he plays against Tom Brady, then I just think there's no real avenue for them to win this game. The only chance I think they have is to truly dominate the game up front. If you look back at the NFC Championship game, 33 dropbacks, they rushed 4. They got pressure 11 of those times, which is a real outlier compared to what the Bucks had done or the Packers had done all season. They had all five of their sacks while rushing four guys. If they can do that again, they'll have a chance. But I just think that if you look at Andy Reid's history and how good he is at helping his offensive line, even that tiny little advantage that the Bucks have might not be enough.
Robert, you can take Kelce, Hill, and Mahomes, and I raise you Mitch, Shaheen, and Kevin White. All right? Keep that in the back of your mind.
You're going to need a lot of guys on defense.
When you get back to Chicago, just pass me the sledgehammer because I want to hit that treadmill too. So, Robert, great stuff as always. Love talking to you. Thank you. Have a great trip, okay?
Absolutely. I'll bring the gasoline and the matches too when we meet up.
Yes. There you go. Robert Mays is so good. If you don't read him in The Athletic, he alone is worth the price of the subscription.
He nailed it too. I mean, how he just described that is you stay on that treadmill, and usually what ends up happening, it just keeps going at the same speed, and you don't get anywhere.
I have a question for the official scorers. We'll get to that next. And I also have a question for our listeners on the biggest Chicago sports riddle. There's one writer who believes he has the answer. That's next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you're having a great day. If you're just getting out of work, a lot going on. Bulls playing the Knicks tonight. We've got the Hawks who got a point last night. Waddle didn't like it, though, because he didn't like the participation point for losing an overtime.
I didn't like it both ways. I mean, I didn't want to see the team lose. And I had money on the Hawks on the money line.
I have a question for the... Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, I bet the Hawks. 30 seconds later, the Canes scored. It's like, I suck at gambling. I really do.
Wait, what are you giving up, though? Like, after one goal? It's 1-0.
No, I'm just saying, like, if there was... that is the epitome of me gambling, that they, as soon as I make the bet, the other side scores, my team rallies back, and in the end, probably the most exciting player on the ice can't get the biscuit in the basket, shootout, and I lose on the third playoff shot.
I thought he was scoring for sure, didn't you? Yeah, I mean, right. Yeah.
I mean, so bye-bye money. See ya.
You were complaining, though, early, like, about that first goal. You're like, here I am. I'm the mush.
I'm the mush. I am.
You're not a mush. You have no control over it.
By the way, I also bet the over in the Bulls and Knicks game from two nights ago. And, like, at the half, it was, like, 100-10. And all I needed was them to score, like, what was it, like 40 points in the fourth quarter collectively, and they couldn't do it.
You know, tonight's an interesting game. I chose to stay away from it just because I think Tibbs has been frothing at the mouth. And I think he's going to try and find, like, a way to shut down Markkanen. And it goes into my next question. But I think, you know, it's playing Tibbs two games in a row.
Yeah.
I think sort of favors the Knicks. But I could be wrong. If I were to play tonight, I'd play the Knicks.
Well, especially since we like our team. They're getting better, but they're not a good team. So I agree with your premise that if you give Tom Thibodeau an opportunity twice in 3 days to face an average team, there's a good chance he can get you.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a question for the official scorers, speaking of scoring. So Mays dropped three good questions there. Do I get credit for two since I got two, but it's the same interview?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, you can.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know.
Question.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Do you get credit for two layups in the game because it's the same game?
Yeah. I mean, you could have a guy just say good question every time.
Yeah. You guys have had Jesse Rogers on the air.
That's what we thought Jesse was was cheating.
Yeah. When he would go on Cap Show every day and answer every question that Cap asked with good question. We think they're
was insider trading. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you guys know the Astros were cheating, right? It was a big scandal. We thought the same thing was going on between Jesse and Cap.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever Cap would ask a question and be like, Jesse, do you think the Cubs absolutely have to spend more money? He would say, that's a good question. So whenever he would pound the desk and ask a question, Jesse would say, good question.
Yeah, that was his tell. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really? There you go.
And it would be very Cap to do the exact same thing that the Astros are doing and not come up with his own thing.
What if I just hit the desk? Whenever I hit the desk.
What if I just bang on something, Jesse? That's pretty original. How about I do it that way?
Shot.
Not a shot. Not a shot at all.
Oh, total shot.
So, all right. You sent a really good article out today, Waddle, on marketing. And we were talking a lot about it, but we were on for a short time yesterday. And we discussed a lot about him getting better here, especially as of late. He's averaging over 20 points per game, but the last couple of games, 30 points per game. And we want to know, with the they've got 50-plus games to make a decision on him in restricted free agency. And restricted free agency could be dangerous because another team could – he could sign the offer sheet with another team, and then you have to decide to let him go and lose him for nothing. Or you sign him to maybe a cost that you don't want to pay him. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important here in these next 50 games to decide on marketing him. There was a part in Darnell Mabry's article, and it's really good. If you're a Bulls fan, you should read it. I'll quote some things here in a minute. But the one line that stood out to me was, and now that Mitch is gone, I think it's pretty accurate. He called Lauri Markkanen the biggest riddle in Chicago sports. A, would you guys agree? And B, if you do agree, who's number two now on the list? And if you don't agree, who's number one?
I would hit the reverse button real quick and say to you, I don't think, at least in recent days, Mitch was ever a riddle. That would assume you don't know exactly who he is. And I think, going back to midway through 2 years ago, I think we were all on the same page, right? Like, I was probably the most patient. I know Chris and Adam were out in front on this.
But in 19, would you say, like, coming off the 18 season, when he showed some hope?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
halfway through the 19, I would say there's a point in the probably sooner rather than later, but I'll even just say conservatively, probably the halfway point of the 2019 season, where I was no longer feeling patient and had just come to a conclusion personally what my thoughts were, and it wasn't a riddle to me any longer. The riddle was, why was the coach asking him to do things that he had proven he wasn't capable of doing? Like, the coach was a riddle. Like, what he was trying to accomplish was the riddle.
Yeah, that's good. Matt Nagy may be the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Unless we're all pretty much just down on it, so we have our answer with him.
Yeah, Mitch was not, for me, was not a riddle in recent times.
Black Abdallah, what about you guys?
I kind of feel like a lot of the riddle players are all on the same team. They're all on the Bulls because we don't really know. And there are, different points where either highlights or good games or good weeks kind of let you to think that, okay, maybe Markkanen can be a star. Maybe Zach LaVine can lead a team to the playoffs. Kobe White, can he do anything? And it seems like, for a couple of those guys, White and Markkanen, it seems every step forward we take another step back. We just need consistency. So that's a riddle to me.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure if, like, who's a riddle on the Bears outside of, Mitch, but Mitch isn't going to be here. So
Let me give you one because, and I, like, this is probably a reach, but it's like what we always talk about where guys set the bar. And I'm going to bring up two names on two different teams. Chris Bryant is one. Like, what's going on with, we know the Cubs are going to now part with him. Is Chris Bryant going to be a star again? Is he just slumping lately? Is he a true star? Is he in his own head because the trade rumors have bugged him? And a lot of things, we saw that Jesse bugged him because he didn't like the headline of the story. And then I'll ask you Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack grades out very well on a lot of the football sites. But for the money that he gets and the production that he puts up, does he live up to what you think he's supposed to be?
Well, I mean, again,
that's
as you
admittedly
said,
a reach. It's admittedly a reach.
Well, I'm with you on that, Sylvie, because he's paid to be a top five player in the NFL overall, top five player, including quarterbacks. And at times, he does not play like that.
I've had somebody whose football opinion I trust as much or more than anybody, who understands the position and everything else, who has intimated to me that maybe, despite what you're paying him, okay, you ask a lot of someone who is paid as much as he's paid, that maybe the Bears have just had him on the field too much, and you've got to know when to tap the brakes, and you got to know when to give a guy a breather for him to reach maximum effectiveness. And going forward, they better do a better job of it, or they're going to get more of what they've seen. Does that make any sense?
I want to follow up on that coming up next. 312-332-3776. I'll read you what Darnell wrote about Lauri Markkanen and why he thinks he could be the biggest riddle in Chicago sports. Would you agree about Khalil Mack and Chris Bryant? And if it's not Lauri Markkanen, who would you guys say, 332-3776, is the biggest? Who drives you the most crazy? Who's the biggest riddle in Chicago sports? Is it Matt Nagy? 332-3776.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Yeah. All right, the party's going to be right here on Twitch. And shout out to all the people on Twitch right now. We have the big game pregame party. It's something new and something that we've experimented with. It started off when we were all in quarantine when the Last Dance was on. And we all took a turn and did a little bit of a Last Dance pregame. Our Twitch followers have grown since then. So we ask you to follow us, our station, on Twitch. If you haven't checked it out, you got to check it out Sunday. Like, maybe you're someone who just listened to us on the radio. You're still a car radio person. You're in traffic right now. You listen to us on the radio. There's so many new ways to listen. You can just tell Alexa or Google Play to play ESPN 1000. You can download that ESPN Chicago app. And all the live shows are there. All the podcasts on demand are right there if you miss anything. And then there's Twitch, and you can watch, see what's going on in the First Midwest Bank studio. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's also a great way to react with us, and I'll pop in every now and then, good or bad. And it's a great way for other listeners to meet listeners. So check that out. The party's going to be 3 to 5 coming up on Sunday, the big game pregame show. And we're going to be drinking Coors Light. We're going to be eating. You always wanted to go to Waddle's pregame party. Not a pregame party. It was a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
So it's all presented by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook and brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Coors Light, Apt Electronics, and Protect Chicago. Go to chicago.gov/COVIDVax. Now, this is called the Waddle and Sylvie party. Of course, Bleck and Abdallah, part of Waddle and Sylvie. They'll be there. We'll put on all your favorite local ESPN 1000 personalities and a lot of special guests as well.
Are you guys going to do what I'm going to do? Will you commit? Will you commit to getting a physical on Saturday to make sure you're at peak physical condition for Sunday's event? Nope.
I've gone to enough doctors and appointments in the last year to be good.
You get a pass.
Do you know how long it takes to schedule a physical in advance? Like, you think I'm just calling up the doctor and being like, hey, can you squeeze me in on Saturday?
I figured that out as well, but I don't think many people are eager to go to their doctor.
What do you got,
days.
That concierge service?
I do not. Nope. I called a random number today.
The doctor's Waddle has the physician that comes to him. He makes house calls. He's got like the big doctor bag that opens up and comes to his house.
Hello, doctor here.
Listen, that is a more common practice than many people probably believe right now. I'm not a subscriber to that. I called my doctor's office today. I didn't get anyone in their office. I actually got someone who answers the phone, and he looked at my doctor's schedule and said, how's 7:30 on Saturday? I said, put me in.
Well, Waddle doesn't realize is he called Jiffy Lube.
7:30 on a Saturday?
That's what I mean. He's scheduled an oil change.
You're making the doctor come in early for you? What are you doing?
My doctor, like, I send my doctor because, you know, you get texts back and forth with your doctor now. They've become really interactive, your doctors now.
You really have the concierge experience because
I don't text my doctor.
Yeah. Okay, but I text my doctor through the North Shore Connect app.
Yeah,
I don't have his number at home. Like, if you send your doctor, if you're on the North Shore Connect, if that's your people and you're on their app and you sent them a text, they don't come right away. Sup. I say, like, hey, what?
Don't get it twisted. It definitely sounds like you have that North Shore Connect.
That's the name of the device, jackass.
There's the Northwestern My Chart, and there's North Shore.
I have that too.
I will tell you this: there are very, very few things that you would say, "Hey, this is a cool perk of having cancer." The one cool perk was you could text your doctor night or day. I could text Dr. Saris and say, "Dude, I'm not feeling well right now. What can I do?" And he's right there. Okay, those guys are the greatest.
I've been going to the same doctor now since I got here, Dr. Munsell, since 1989. So that's how many years? It's like over 30 years. So, like, I mean,
these should be easier to reach. Yes. I agree. Like, as all the people that we could reach these days, I think there should be better ways to reach doctors.
Okay,
these days.
So my point is like, I didn't go back channels to set this up. Quite frankly, when I told my wife I had the physical scheduled for Saturday morning, she was like, "How'd you get that appointment so early?" I was like, "I don't know. I just called their service, and they basically, I was expecting them." I'm not going to lie to you. I was expecting them to say he doesn't have any available appointments until sometime in April. And then I was going to go through the back channels and contact him and say, any chance I can come in at 6 in the morning sometime in the next couple of weeks because he gets in early. So the moral of my story is that I'm going to have my big game Super Bowl physical on Saturday morning to be prepared for our big event.
I think
Sunday.
The moral of the story is that you did what the common folks would do, but you had in your back pocket a separate way to get what you needed. Isn't that the moral of the story?
No, the moral of the story is
so
that
that's the moral of the story, right?
No, it's not. I mean, it depends on which moral you're looking for. I mean, if you want to take that angle, if you want to take the cynical view of it, I'm sure that you could go that direction.
I was telling
you how I got in contact with it after I was being verbally assaulted by Adam Abdallah about, you know, having some sort of special privilege.
Did you think you would have to be so defensive about a doctor's appointment?
Listen,
verbal assault. I just know in the past, like, you have to
Punk
schedule Dalla
on the line.
You
again.
Have to schedule a. I'll put you in the boards. You have to schedule a physical like 3-4 months in advance if you can get that. It's well, like scheduling
a
teeth cleaning.
Then. Abdallah, you need a new doctor. If it's taking you 3 months to get in,
it's a physical. You're supposed to have one once
a year. I don't think
it
takes 3 months.
You know what I mean?
I think
though.
You're speaking
it's
out
like
the
a
backside.
It's like a teeth cleaning. You can't just be like, "Hey, tomorrow I want to get my teeth cleaned."
Oh, I can't get in a week. Dr. Al, I can't get squeezed into Dr. Al in a week. I mean, Dr. Al's busy.
Dr. Schnitzer took me in a week.
Dr. Schnitzer gave you the clean.
Yes, I got a rye bread while I was there as well.
You can say that.
And it's another side.
I did not say that. My point was, again, one of the points of the story was, too, is that I think fewer people are I think there is still a reluctance in a large percentage of people to actually even go see your doctor if it's, in fact, time for your yearly visit. People are putting it off because of COVID.
Yes.
Which is creating opportunities now where you probably can, if you want to, get in to see your general practitioner more readily than you used to.
Yes. I went on a media tour with my doctor for Men's Health Month in November because a lot of times, in general terms, men don't take care of themselves as well as women. Waddle is absolutely right. They're all there for you. COVID, they've taken all the precautions. Go see your doctor if you haven't. Yeah. Take it from me. Take it from someone who just went through.
What you're saying, Sylvia, is 100% true.
No one is trying to scare anybody away. Yeah. So don't paint that picture. What I'm trying to say is that I find it very surprising that Waddle can just be like, "Hey, can I come in on Saturday?" It's like, "Yeah, cool, 7:30. Why not?"
Well, I was surprised too. I said to my wife, I was shocked that they were shocked. Like, listen, here's the deal. Like, he was the team doctor, so I got to know him. I've known all of the people that work for him for 30 years.
Yeah.
So, like, I could call Debbie, his assistant, and say, "Hey, Debbie, is there any chance Doc can squeeze me in for a physical sometime next week?" And Doc would take, like, at times, he'd come in at, like, 5 in the morning. The guy's up at 3 every day. Like, he doesn't sleep.
Big hands, too, you were telling us, right?
Oh, God, he could pump five basketballs at once. He's like Will Chamberlain.
You're going to have a workout on Saturday.
There's no doubt. But I was surprised. I was surprised that I was able to get in for the physical. So and then part of me was like, well, you shouldn't be surprised because I think most people, and as Sylvie was saying, which is good advice, don't put off any of your medical, you know, issues that you need to have attended to because of COVID. Go because doctors are still, they're having visits. I was able to get in at a pretty, like, and also, Chris, who wants to go to the doctor and have the prostate exam at 7 o'clock on a Saturday? Not many people are in line for that. I don't mind.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
The early bird gets
no problem.
The finger.
Well, all right. I think we're obligated to go to break on that one.
I'm trying to stay healthy.
Hold on. We need a contestant. And Zetterman got pissed at me earlier because we were talking about health, and I didn't mention the armchair nutritionist. So it is now available on the ESPN Chicago platform. If you want more health information, go to Danny Zetterman and all of his great guys.
Maybe he's not a doctor.
Can Danny get me in for a physical at 7:30?
I was just going to say, maybe Danny's got an in for you to get us. Adam, do you want to go see your doctor at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning?
No,
we see Danny in the hall here. That's it.
Black, you'll love this. Listen to this. Early in the show, Waddle mentioned his physical. 10 minutes later, I got a text, and he said, next time you're talking about health, why don't you mention the armchair nutritionist? And I texted him back, and I said, when were we talking about health? And then he said, and then he brought up, Waddle was mentioning his physical. You're getting like Cap now. You're forgetting stuff that you're saying.
And oh, no. He did that?
So I thought, and I was thinking like you, we weren't exactly going down the road of like the armchair, what the armchair nutritionist does.
Right.
Waddle was talking about getting his prostate checked.
Yeah, and so the hernia exam. Is he offering those services?
I think
services?
He is. If you want to schedule your physical, download the Armchair Nutritionist podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Danny will book your next appointment.
Can I ask you guys a serious question, though? Like, I've wondered this. I'm almost 54. I'll be 54 later this month. Do I really need a hernia test?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, I'm just asking. Like, do you guys, when you get your physical, do you get the hernia test? Does your doctor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wondered,
need for a point in overtime nor a hernia test.
That's my point. Is like, couldn't you just ask me, are you feeling any pain in your abdomen? Like, have you been lifting heavy objects?
How's your back?
How's your back? Like, okay, now time for the hernia exam. Why? Like, I'm not deadlifting. I'm not doing hack squats.
I love that you're questioning everything today. It's awesome. I love this version of you. All right, we need a contestant. Caller 25-332-3776. You'll get to play my wife or radio partner next.
This hour is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. It's now time for My Wife or My Radio Partner.
My wife. Nah, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My Wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or My Radio Partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My Wife or My Radio Partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And it's all brought to you by our fantastic friends and partners at Swift and Sons. Swift and Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. You talk about the partners who win Restaurateurs of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about innovators. It's Rob Katz and Kevin Bame. It's their executive chef, Chris Pandel. They've never fought harder to do what they do best through this all. And hopefully there will be a day coming soon when all the restaurants will be overflowing like they used to. In the meantime, they are making it safe for you. They are taking safety seriously. You support local, and they've got the chalets outdoors that you can eat, and they're available for takeout. So support those who support us. Swift & Sons, American Steakhouse in the West Loop. All right, who do we have for our contestant here? Tommy in Mount Pleasant. What's up, Tommy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Have you played before, Tommy?
Only in my car, not officially on the air.
All right. What do you say you shoot? What's your percentage lifetime shooting for My Wife or Radio Partner?
Oh, man, I'd probably say not good, probably around 55, 65.
Well, let's pick it up. You'll need to be higher than that. Yeah, you got to hit 67% to get that gift card.
All right.
Today's the day, boys. Today's the day,
Tommy. I want to give you that gift card. Three statements. You have to say who made the statement. Today we're asking, was it Waddle or was it my wife, Allie? And if my wife made the statement, this is what you're going to hear.
This old man, he played one.
Partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear. All right, Tommy, here we go. Statement number one. You should do a Twitter poll on that. You should do a Twitter poll on that.
I'd say your radio partner.
No. That was my wife. So, you know, guys, you guys know that I'm a big joggers guy. Now, they're taking joggers now to a little different level where you can wear them as, like, everyday pants.
I wore them to work the last couple of weeks.
Well, these aren't the athletic type. This is a new style. And I bought the cheap ones from Old Navy just to see if I like them. And I put them on for my wife, and she hated them. Hated them. Return. And then I said, really? They're that bad? She goes, yeah. Why don't you do a Twitter poll on them? She wanted me to take pictures, send them out on social media, and ask whether I should return them or keep them.
Modeling.
No, I didn't do that, though. But I thought it was interesting that she wanted a Twitter poll on that.
Very nice.
Tommy, you need these last two, okay?
Just for the record, yep. Tommy, I don't care how he looks in joggers, so I really wouldn't have the need to ask him for a Twitter poll about that.
Okay.
Tommy, statement number two. I hope Braxton punches you in the bleep. I hope Braxton punches you in the bleep.
Your radio partner.
No doubt. He was being a Richard, so I was hoping that his son would punch him right in his Richard. You deserve that.
You were egging on son
number one to give me the business on one of your videos, and I just said to you, I hope Braxton punches you right in your Johnson.
We cut a video, Tommy, on the couch the other day after the Peyton Manning Zoom, and they sent me a book as part of the virtual experience, the 100 greatest NFL players of all time, and I was having my son study it and read it, get into football a little bit more. And he opened it up and was looking for, is Mahomes here? Is Khalil Mack here? And then he asked me, is Waddle here? And I got a good laugh out of that one. So we cut a video.
Then you made a little video out of it. And then you guys, you were like, I don't know. It was like Tom Rickles or Don Rickles or whatever his name is. I don't know.
Tom Dreesen. Don Rickles. You looking for an old-time comedy guy?
Yeah.
Old-timey comedy black.
And then you just started to be a turd about it. So I was like, I hope that Braxton walks over to you and without any reason at all punches you right in your jaw.
And you used the term. All right. Statement number three. This is it for the Swift and Sons gift card, okay? Here we go, Tommy. Statement number three. They have some nifty young players. They have some nifty young players.
Well, I don't think Allie watches that much, and that would be a trick one, so I'm still going to say that's your radio partner.
Yeah! Way to go, Tommy. Look, I was watching the hockey game last night. I couldn't tell you what their names were, but I saw some of the young Hawks with some nifty stick work, and I let the guys know that, you know what, I'm entertained.
He texted us, yes, that the Hawks have some nifty young players.
Said I didn't know who they were and how good they're eventually going to be, but I'm entertained right now, and there's some nifty stick work going on right now.
Tommy, great stuff. We appreciate you listening. We'll send you out that gift card to Swift and Sons.
Thanks, Sylvie. Hey, Waddle, just real quick, why don't you save yourself the trip and have Black or Abdallah do the hernia check? They'll just ask you to cough.
Wow. Wow, Tommy, really? I try to keep my doctors and my radio partners and coworkers in separate baskets.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good sense.
Tommy, that was awesome.
Thank you very much, you guys.
You got it. There's Tommy. I love it. Ending on a high note. It's like he's telling a joke. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, Michael Wilbon joins the show. Don't miss it.